Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Kara Garisco and Destin Brillant. They are acting coaches with the Summer Youth Shakespeare Ensemble, which convenes every year to produce some amazing Shakespeare and obviously very, very dedicated students of acting and Shakespeare. Kara and Destin are both alums of the Summer Youth Shakespeare Ensemble. Kara, you actually went to the very first one,
yep,
which took place here. And Destin, you came a few years after that. And the two of you are back as coaches now, working with the ensemble. And in addition to working as an acting coach, you're also doing some of the artwork, and
yes,
you design the poster and these beautiful postcards that we have here to illustrate the Taming of the Shrew is the Shakespeare play that you all are putting on. It's a pretty amazing experience. You would think, when someone says, oh, and they're going to put on a Shakespeare play, that you all have been working all summer long.
Right.
But the absolute magic part about the ensemble is that it lasts for 15 days, I think 2 weeks,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yes.
And then at the end of that, with this amazing group of kids and faculty, you all put on a complete Shakespeare play.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what we do. That's what they do, really, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, tell us, before we talk about The Taming of the Shrew and what you all have been doing this year, tell us just a bit about your experiences with the ensemble. I mean, we were talking a bit before we went on the air, and very, very moving experiences for both of you. You were both quite young when you got the opportunity. What happened to you when you went to that first ensemble, Kara? What was your reaction to this experience?
Yeah, I was 13 years old when we did the first Summer Youth Shakespeare Ensemble. We did A Midsummer Night's Dream. And I was fascinated by the process, by the ensemble, by Amy Wagasback, the director and visionary of this amazing camp. It was the first time I felt really connected to the theater, and I've been a part of it ever since.
Now, Amy is the visionary, as you say, and the director of Acting Up in Acadiana. She started this. But your faculty has always been superb.
Absolutely.
That has been important to her from the beginning, to get professionals to work with the kids.
Absolutely. We have Danny DeVilliers on board as composer and music teacher. We have Hector LaSala as set designer, Chad Tronhan as costume designer, and also Joseph Limas as movement teacher.
And some of these people have been with the ensemble since the beginning. Some
yeah,
of the names you're mentioning.
Amy and Hector have worked together. He's been there from the beginning. So, yeah, they work very well together, and it continues.
So even though acting, we think, would be the primary work of this ensemble, you're talking about people who are architects, dancers, composers.
Absolutely.
So really, Amy's interested in the full experience.
It takes
of
all
theater.
Kinds. You know, that's how I see it. That's how Amy sees it. It takes all kinds to make theater happen. And so it's multidisciplinary in that way. So if a camper is maybe not necessarily drawn to the spotlight, we really cater to their needs and what their desire is and what they want to get out of it. So if they want to,
music or dance, or even we have one girl this year who's really interested in directing. So we have her sitting out taking notes with Amy and the assistants. So
she's getting instruction in directing by
sure.
watching a professional.
Absolutely.
So you were even younger than Kara when you started at the ensemble. Destin, I think you said you were 11
years old. I was
11. Old. And what play did they do that year?
We did Love's Labour's Lost, and I was the king's assistant. But on the second day, we have our auditions with music, acting, and movement, and I play the violin. And they were impressed with that, so they decided to put me in a smaller role so I could focus on playing music for the show.
Because live music is very much a part of these productions.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, what was your response of this experience? Well, what did you think? Had that been something you were drawn to already, or is it something your parents made you do?
We had always done art camps in the summer a little bit, and when trying each of them, never really fully impressed. And when we got here, just never went back. It's like Kara said, we found our people, and we were at that age in middle school where you kind of get lost a little bit. You're trying to find yourself,
your passion.
Who do you like? Mm-hmm. And coming out of childhood into being a teenager, and it was just the perfect thing. I used to be a very shy, quiet child, and mm-hmm. now I'm the complete opposite. And I think a lot of that is because of the ensemble.
It really brought you out of yourself and helped you find what you're interested in.
Absolutely.
And I like the way both of you are talking about how there's no one particular child or type of interest that you have to have in this camp, that you're really trying to reach that spectrum of mm-hmm. interest that could mm-hmm. be in the theater.
Absolutely. And the way the camp is structured, we have company class together as an ensemble. Everyone takes class together first thing in the morning. And then we go off and we take other classes. So there's movement class, acting class, text analysis, costume workshops, design workshops. And then our afternoons are dedicated to rehearsals. So putting the skills in practice to complete the task of putting on a show.
And that absorbs you completely as well. I mean, I'm sure people are still trying to process the fact that you're putting on a complete Shakespeare play in 2 weeks. So you're not only taking classes, but you are rehearsing for this play almost mm-hmm. immediately,
the
day after you all get there. So what happens? I mean, there's nearly 50 kids this summer. The camp has just grown each year. What happens that first day? How do you kind of sort things out?
It's a lot of hey, what's your name? Mm-hmm. You know, icebreakers, you know, fun. It's funsies the first day, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. the second day is auditions. And so they get their part that afternoon. So they know what they have to do by the end of the second day. And then it's sort of you know,
rehearsal immediately. Wow. The third day, you just jump right into act one, and we walk through the entire act in one afternoon.
Yeah, so we stage an act a day.
I mean, I'm getting the sense there has to be something a little magical about this process, though.
Oh,
almost
yes.
Like the Harry Potter sorting
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because after only one day, to be suddenly auditioning for a play, you're choosing those actors and what parts they're going to play and who's going to be doing that. That takes a lot of understanding and sensitivity and a little bit of magic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
So, and some of these kids have come to camp before, so mm-hmm. they're familiar with it. But mm-hmm. there must always be some new kids.
Yeah, actually, yeah. The two of our leads are
both of our leads, Catherine and Petruchio, are both
newbies. This is their first time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Actually, I think it might be Madison's second year, but maybe still so. Okay. A lot for only your second year being the yeah. female lead.
Okay. So I think people are getting the sense that you've got a whole lot of passion going on here, a lot of enthusiasm, yeah. a lot of talent, mm-hmm. a lot of professionalism here mm-hmm. at the camp. So let's talk a bit about the play that you all are focused on. In addition to all of the classes, obviously the play is the
mm-hmm.
thing,
mm-hmm.
And you audition the second day, and then you go into production. Most people know the name, The Taming of the Shrew, but may not know much more than that. And you all are actually adding another element to it.
Well, we're.
Are you're using an element
yes.
that is not often used.
Yes.
Little known element of Shakespeare's play that we don't often see. But for those who may not know the story of The Taming of the Shrew, it is a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a kind of a nutshell plot.
Well, it starts off in a bar. There's a drunk man named Christopher Sly who's getting kicked out for not paying, and a lord stumbles upon him with his huntsman and decides, we're going to play a trick on this man, bring him back to my house, dress him up as a lord and pretend he's had amnesia for 15 years, and bring in some players to entertain him, dress up the page boy as his wife, and those players that come in is the Taming of the Shrew play. But Shakespeare only brings up the story of Christopher Sly and the Lord maybe once or twice in the play and doesn't even end it with it. So what Amy's done is bring back this framework in a sort of plain English in between scenes to explain what's going on, to add a fast-paced comedy, and also to make sure everybody has a part in the play.
And also to guide the audience along. So she's taken the framework, you know, this the intro, you know, how it unfolds, and has created a through line. So,
And because The Taming of the Shrew, the way we are doing it, is emphasizing the play within a play, it's almost as if we can do whatever we want with it. And it's as over the top and anything goes.
So you're not just doing some historical story.
Exactly.
You don't have to stick to it because this is a play that you get to play around with.
I think Shakespeare would be down with that.
Absolutely.
I think he would. Well, and in so many other plays, he does have that guiding through the play with, you know, that intro and, you know, somebody coming on and talking to the audience. So
in the past, we've sort of used this commedia element of clowning in between scenes to sort of catch the audience up. But this in this way, it's sort of already built in and it's not used. So we thought it was a perfect opportunity.
Perfect. And adds more roles for people to play.
Absolutely.
So this play within the play that most of us think of as The Taming of the Shrew, tell us what that's about.
It is about there's two sisters, Catherine and Bianca. Catherine is the title kind of shrew, and their father is Baptista Manola. He's a very rich man, and his youngest daughter, Bianca, is sort of the ideal woman who is very modest and shy and does what she's told, or it appears so. And Catherine is the shrew. She's independent. She mouths off. She does what she wants. And he says Bianca cannot get married until Catherine has been married. So Petruchio hears of this wealthy dowry that Baptista is offering and says, all right, I think I can tame her.
I'll take her on. Mm-hmm.
And they meet and they're just matched. Mm-hmm. They are just as stubborn as each other. And then there's, of course, the sideline of Bianca has like three or four suitors who are all trying to
get the older sister out of the way so that they can have the younger one.
Woo her, accost her.
So therein lies the story, and therein the sparks fly. Because even though you say they're perfectly matched, they don't really figure that out until the very
end. Not till the end.
Sure.
So it's quite a journey to that point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's quite comedic. Can y'all talk about the comedy a bit that you appreciate most?
The way we are doing it is we're sort of it's like so anti-feminist, but there's sort of inherent feminism in it that we're just flipping it and making it completely feminist, and that Catherine is going to end up doing whatever she wants. And she's with Petruchio because she wants to be with him. Mm-hmm. My favorite scene in the play is when Catherine and Petruchio are going back to Catherine's home because her sister is now getting married with one of the suitors. We won't tell you who.
You'll just have to come and find out.
And Petruchio keeps threatening them to go home. And it's in the middle of the day, and he says, oh, the moon is so beautiful right now. And it's all these things that he's flipping the meaning, and she just has to go with it because she wants to go home. This dramatic irony right there, that it's really funny the way that we're playing it.
Yeah, that is an interesting element that you bring up, because even though she is quite strong-willed and has quite a tongue, there is that element of it isn't a feminist play, really. There is ultimately that final speech that she makes about acceptance. And so it's an interesting way to try and play that and flip it, as you say, to have perhaps make her a little more in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, something that we do is we have this big finale song that Danny DeVillier is so awesome at composing, and he really takes into consideration, you know, the campers' ideas and contribution.
The kids basically write the lyrics to the song.
Yeah, they do, and I think that's been my favorite.
This is the best, in our opinion. This is the best ending song we've ever done of the 12 years of Summer Youth Shakespeare.
So the whole company gathers and sings this song.
Yeah, we're all really into it.
Well, I don't want you to give away all the ideas, but does it have a lot of their response to some of these big issues
yes.
in the play?
Oh, yes. Yes, for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess people will have their own responses throughout the play. It'll be interesting, to see what resonates with them in this song. If you are just tuning in, my guests are Cara Garisco and Destin Briand. They are acting coaches for the Summer Youth Shakespeare Ensemble. The play that the ensemble is putting on this year is Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. And they have nearly 50 students that are involved in this play, many of them acting, many of them helping out with the scenery, music, so many elements of theater. You did mention the two leads. Can we talk about some of the actors, the young actors who are in some of the leading roles?
Yes. Petruchio is played by Jace, and he is a new student to the camp. He's never done it before and just came and kind of blew us away. So we put him in the lead. And Madison, she plays Catherine, and I believe it's her second year. So both of them, an amazing feat to be getting these lead roles in.
Because they're on stage a lot.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have a lot of lines.
For sure. Yeah, and it's crazy to me to think that it's Jace De La Fosse. It's Gina's nephew, which is really kind of adorable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it blows me away that he can just walk into it first-timer, first summer, and just own the lead role and just take it on. I don't even think he's aware, really, of how crazy it is yet. And that's, like, kind of the magic, too. When you're in it, when you're a kid, summer camp, you just kind of go for it. You don't have time to really think it or doubt mm-hmm. it or mm-hmm. doubt yourself. You just – there's
just
a big
go.
Job at hand, and we're all doing it together. And we're all in it together.
And has he acted before, or this is?
He has.
Okay, yes. So it's his first time in the camp, but he's not a complete
right. Yeah, he's
to
great
theater. Mm-hmm. And who are some of the other roles? The sister, the
Cameron Adamson, who is Hector LaSalle's granddaughter, actually, and this is her, I believe, fifth year doing the camp, and she plays Bianca. Alana Gugich is actually a female in the role of Baptista, and this is, I believe, her fifth year as well in the camp. Lucentio is played by, let me see my list, Dan Digas, and he did the camp for 1 year and left, and now he's back.
So yeah, he's back, but he's back, and he's really back. I mean, like, he is awesome to see the growth of these actors. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can really see them progress and reach and extend themselves to keep growing and mm-hmm. and changing, and it's really magnificent to witness.
I'm sure some people are wondering who gets to play Christopher Sly.
Christopher Sly is played by Nathaniel Thibodeau.
Yeah.
He's small but important.
Which is also his first year. Yeah. And the way with this added framework, he does have quite a bit of stage time.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, he has a really big job of sort of drunkenly guiding the audience along, you know?
So is he, like, always on stage? Are you aware of
he's
him
a presence.
Watching
he's
the play?
He's definitely mm-hmm. a presence.
We don't
sure.
want to give too much away
okay.
about
Well, yeah. As we were saying before, this has been a big year for Shakespeare in Lafayette, in the Acadiana area. There's mm-hmm. a lot of it going on. A lot of it has to do with young people like yourself coming out of this wonderful camp and groups that are, just delighting us all, mm-hmm. With great plays. As we said, the Comedy of Errors will open this coming week as well. So we have so much to choose from in Shakespeare
Absolutely.
Around here. Now, you open this weekend, Friday is your opening
Friday.
Night, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're like halfway through rehearsals.
We are, yes. Destin and I, we just left
from our
cue
to cue.
So we're doing cues today. Okay. So tomorrow is first rough run and making call line.
So now for those of us who are lay people, cue to cue means what? You're just making sure they know where to come
we're
in?
We're going through the whole play and making sure everyone makes their exits and entrances.
After and music and dances.
Okay. And again, people are digesting this. After a week, you're going through the whole play.
Oh, yeah.
And tomorrow is, as Amy calls it, the come to Jesus moment. We run through the whole play.
They have to know their
off
lines.
Books.
Off book, yeah. Yeah, they have to know their lines by tomorrow.
Do they just spend the whole weekend just memorizing?
Oh, absolutely. There's no time in camp to learn your lines. You have to be dedicated to learn it outside of camp.
Well, it doesn't sound like you'll have any problem with dedication at all.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
So today's cues, tomorrow they know all of their lines.
Well, they can call for a line, but we, you know, we ask them not to abuse it. Uh-huh. But
so many are you're out.
Yeah.
That would be a problem.
I'm keeping a tally.
Now, for some of the other things, I mean, it's hard for many of us to imagine memorizing that many lines in 2 weeks. But you've got a lot of other things going on, too, that have to be finished, like costumes and set design. How is that?
Oh, and there's dances and there's music and there's songs. And it's everyone's playing their part and everyone's kind of coming together to get it done.
So how complex are your costumes? What?
It depends on
the interpretation of the play.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when it's a more quote unquote realistic play, mm-hmm, some things are pre-made elements that we bring in and size or bedazzle or change, but especially when some of the previous plays, like A Midsummer Night's Dream or As You Like It, where there's sort of that magic element. Lots of fun costumes, a lot of things
special
made completely from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chad, our costume designer, I think he's got the best references, and he brings in such a fresh look to the show. And
he makes everybody look good.
Yeah, he really does. He's really great at what he
and
does.
And teaches in the meantime while he's doing that. Those kids are learning from him as well.
Absolutely.
So as acting coaches, again, you've got a really short time to get some of these kids up to speed. You're talking about some actors, this is their first summer with the ensemble. Mm-hmm. What do you tell them, Destin, what is your focus when you're talking to them about acting? What do you encourage them to do, to think about?
Well, we have classes almost every morning, and Kara and I actually are teaching together this year. We're teaching the youngest group, which I believe everybody in the youngest group this year is new.
How old is the youngest group? How young do they start?
About 8 years old is the youngest, up through early middle school is the youngest group, and the camp goes ages 8 to 18. But our group is the babies.
We have the babies.
And we just start with some very basic tools of acting, projection and articulation and stage presence. And then each day we sort of move into more complicated things with what's your character's status in the play? How do they react to each other? Moving into their physicality, how do they walk and talk and move, which is what we just did today. And then we'll probably move into how well do you really know your character, into doing some improv exercises later in the week before we open.
Yeah, I think it's really important with the little ones to give them a vocabulary that they'll use, you know, for as long as they do theater or not, you know.
And you mean a vocabulary as far as thinking about acting.
Acting, not... and also technical stuff, you know, just stage business.
Mm-hmm. Like the term you used a little while ago, bedazzle.
Bedazzle.
That was the word that we wouldn't think about. But so your team teaching the little ones, as you say, are any of your babies, are they in some serious roles in the play? Are they on stage much?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we've got Hortensio.
Hortensio is actually in the youngest group. Hortensio is one of Bianca's suitors, sort of the geeky, nerdy one, how we're playing and we also have, well, a lot of the babies are in roles that maybe they have less lines, but they are on stage a lot of the time and end up being in songs and dances. Mm-hmm. So they're all equally important in the play.
Well, what do the two of you enjoy most about working with this group, this age?
I think that the idea of discovery, you know, seeing them make those connections and use it on stage and see them inspired by maybe some of the older actors and see their progression from day one to opening night.
Well, and just talking with you, it's evident that your memories and impressions of your first experiences are still very fresh and strong with you.
Absolutely.
So you're able to impart that to them, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember the feeling when I was a camper, just feeling very professional and being treated as a professional. And I really liked that I had a lot that was expected of me. Mm-hmm. I love that mm-hmm. feeling. Mm-hmm. I really did. And and so hopefully.
And kids respond to that.
Yeah,
they do.
Sure.
If they're treated that way, mm-hmm. then they rise up to that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about, if you are just tuning in right now, about the Summer Youth Shakespeare Ensemble. They are putting on this year Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. My guests are acting coaches and alums of the ensemble, Kara Garisco and Destin Briant. The play opens this Friday. It will run this weekend and the following. How many performances are there?
Five.
There are five performances. So what are our opportunities this weekend?
We have Friday the 18th at 7:30 p.m., Saturday the 19th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday the 20th at 2:00 p.m. for a matinee. And then the following weekend, Friday the 25th at 7:30 p.m., and our last show is Saturday the 26th at 7:30 p.m.
So there's just one matinee this coming Sunday.
Correct.
And all performances are at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, which
yes.
is where the ensemble is taking place. I'm sure they must love it when the ensemble is there.
I mean, we kind of take over. But, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but we've been there for
a very long time.
For a while now, and they expect the controlled chaos and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, I'm sure they go around repeating Shakespeare for a while after the camp is over. Certain lines. How many years has it been going on?
This is our 12th year.
The 12th year, 12th night. Yeah. 12th year, you could write
We've
your
done
own
that.
Play.
Yes. We've done 12th night.
Yes. Yeah. Well, after a while, you probably
yes.
will do them all. Now, is it always a comedy? Or do you do histories or tragedies?
We either a comedy and sometimes. Twice we've done The Tempest, which is a romance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little harder to get in some of those mm-hmm. serious
We try to histories. Keep it light in the summer.
That's right. So this summer we get an opportunity to see The Taming of the Shrew. People can get tickets now, which you encourage
Absolutely.
Them to do. It is a small theater, a wonderfully intimate theater, but with so many kids in the ensemble, of course that means a lot of relatives mm-hmm. and friends
yes.
buying tickets. So if you would like to see the play, best to reserve. And how can people reserve their ticket?
You can call ahead at the ACA at 337-233-7060 or log on to www.acadianacenterforthearts.org to buy them online. And as Judah said, we encourage you to buy them ahead of time so we don't have those long lines at the box office and we can assure you a comfortable seat.
All right, so get those tickets now. I know we have a hard time with that in Lafayette.
Yeah, I know.
We like to wait till the last minute, but it's not a hard process. It's really easy to reserve those tickets, and you'll get this opportunity to see The Taming of the Shrew, the 12th season of the Summer Youth Shakespeare Ensemble. My guests, Kara Garisco, Destin Briant, both alums of this wonderful program, and now back as acting coaches, and Destin doing the poster for The Taming of the Shrew. So, putting out great young professionals throughout the years, and they are coming back and using their talents to continually ensure that we have very enthusiastic young actors, composers, all kinds of things that you do in the theater, and we see the result of it now. We see mm-hmm. All these different wonderful theater groups and actors and writers, and it really has spun off in a wonderful way. So thanks for all your work with this. The Taming of the Shrew opening this Friday at the Acadiana Center of the Arts. This is a product of the Summer Youth Shakespeare Ensemble. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.